from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is KFH. It is 12 News Connected, and we're glad to be with you. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester. Chad Chambers producing, manning the IHOP hotline. Glad to be here with you. We'll give away some HTO later this hour. Tommy, Open Championship update here. We got Tiger at even par through four. Got Gary Woodland at 2 over through 10. Your leader's still at 3 under. What's it going to take, do you think, in this tournament?
To win the tournament when it's all said and done?
Yeah.
You know, I think knowing that, like, Justin Thomas shot 3 under today, it's probably not going to hold up that entire weekend. I'm going to say the winning score is, I don't know, 8 under, 7 under, 8 under. I think you're going to see quite a bit of difficult golf as the weekend goes on.
All right, we are welcome now to start things off in the second hour by our buddy Tim Fitzgerald. Go powercat.com, at Life of Fitz on social media. Fitz, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you boys?
We're good. We're good. What's you know what's new? Now we're through Big 12 media days. Now we kind of sit and wait, right? For what, 3 weeks until practice starts?
Yeah, basically. We have a little, you know, expansion news to keep reporting on if that actually is got substance. So that fills time. And but yeah, it's you're heading towards the football season real fast now.
That expansion, I think, is where we kind of teased this before we connected. That, I think, is the big draw right now. I think the theory we put out there last week is probably not even a theory. I think they're going to raise private money, and I think they're going to pry Florida State and Clemson loose. What really becomes interesting is if they do that, maybe if and when, what happens then? The SEC is saying they're good now. Do they want North Carolina? Does the Big Ten have interest in anybody? It's the ripple effect, I think, that I'm more interested in. Because I think Big 12 is going to go get some money, and they're going to try and get this done before their next TV negotiation. So what else then happens, do you think?
Well, I think you're right. I think once someone takes schools from the ACC and shows a pathway, I think others will follow. North Carolina is the crown jewel of the ACC in terms of what the Big Ten and SEC want. I mean, it's a huge state with, you know, a big following, and it's exactly what both those conferences want. It expands their footprints in kind of connective states. It just makes a lot of sense. And I think once some schools exit, the offers will roll in. And the benefit for the Big 12 is the fact that neither Florida State or Clemson really fits what the two other conferences are looking for. I mean, Big Ten demands academics. They don't fit that very well. And the SEC is trying to expand its footprint. So adding two schools from states that they already have schools in doesn't seem to fit what they really want to do right now.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because to me, it's been a little, I don't know, surprising that the programs, you know, that are Florida State and Clemson are not what the SEC or the Big Ten are looking for. But you go back over the last decade plus, I think the last 11 years, three of the last 11 years, the national champion in college football has been one of those two teams. Clemson's won it twice. Florida State's won it once. But I've heard that a lot that, you know, oh, they don't fit the SEC or they're not big enough, you know, for the Big Ten. And it just, it surprises me that, you know, you've got a couple of these universities that have won national championships, at least in college football, which is driving all of this. And they're not, you know, those two conferences aren't interested in them.
Yeah, it is odd. You would think those two schools coming together would be like forgiveness for what they really want, but we can't pass this up.
Yeah.
But it's not that way. It is very interesting. Maybe it will become this way. You know, maybe the Big 12 is simply doing the legwork, and then one of those conferences will come in and swoop them up right before they sign, because we know they would go, and they should go. But on the other hand, I'm not seeing many indications right now that the SEC wants to bring in more good football. I mean, they've got it set up pretty well. They can have four or five good teams and brag about the entire conference being better than everyone else. And it's not true, but it gets propped up quite a bit. This is the last chance, really, for the Big 12 to close the football gap. So, and I think they know that, and Brett Yormark is certainly acting like that if he's being this aggressive with these, you know, third-party talks. And I think if something's going to happen. There's just too much smoke at this point. But, again, it's hard to make ACC fans realize the Big 12's not trying to kill the ACC. It's not like fans are rooting for this to happen. I think most of us would agree. I wish the ACC would survive, but they seem to be hell-bent on their own destruction.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's not the Big 12. The Big 12 has one opportunity here. They get one more TV rights deal. Brett Yormark has made no secret that he thinks that they can get to the level financially of the SEC and the Big 10. The only way they can do that is further expansion. I mean, you bring Florida State and Clemson in, you've got your two biggest football brands. I don't mean that with any disrespect to anybody else, but that's what it adds to it. And if you can get more than that, we've always thought this. Like, if there could be one more mega league, then maybe you could compete with those other conferences. We're watching the NBA sign $76 billion media deals and the WNBA get into the billions. If you don't think that kind of a college football, mostly, and basketball conference is going to at least match what the SEC and Big Ten are getting, I don't think you're paying attention. And that's the clock that the Big 12 and Brett Yormark are racing against.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I think he realizes that the Big 12 is being undervalued in media rights. And I think he's actively trying to make it apparent, but the only way to do it at this point is on the field and, you know, and trying to back it up with good ratings when you have the opportunity to be in a good time slot, because those numbers are going to get really ugly, because the Big Ten and SEC are going to dominate the best time slots and the best platforms, and the Big 12 and ACC will get what's left. So yeah, adding those schools would help quite a bit. And then I'm positive they probably want four, you know, to keep it somewhat even numbers in terms of, you know, having divisible number of 20. But who comes after that? We've heard Louisville. We've heard Miami. Now we've heard Virginia Tech and NC State. It's amazing to me that the ACC has so many good brands and such a crappy deal. for their media rights. It just doesn't make sense. But they signed it. This is their life. And world leadership sunk the Pac-12, and it might be doing it to the ACC.
Well, I think that's a great point, and a follow-up that I've thought about a lot with all of this is that shouldn't the ACC take a look at what happened to the Pac-12 as a cautionary tale? Because we've been saying forever, everybody had been, that, man, the best chance for long-term survival would be a Big 12, Pac-12 merger. But, you know, the Pac-12 couldn't get out of its own way. They ended up losing their schools outside of two of them, and everything fell apart for them. It almost, you know, seems like it's happening again to an extent with the ACC. But is it ego? Is it just, you know, kind of turning a blind eye to what happened in the past?
Yeah, it's ego. You know, they really do believe that the ACC is far superior to the Big 12. And I don't see that actually on the field in the current state. And, you know, I had to remind them, some fans this morning, that, well, you might think you are, but don't you remember what happened last year in the college football playoff selection?
Yeah.
The nation didn't think you were. I mean, folks, just look back over your shoulder and see what happened to you. I don't think you're probably as, you know, popular and wonderful and respected like you think you are, because you got slighted big time. And I don't know what to say other than the fact that if you take the best brands out of the ACC and move them into the Big 12, you get pretty close to the Big 10 and SEC. It's going to be a much closer divide there between the amount of money. And I think that's best for everyone.
Okay. So I don't know how we say the best of them. I kind of would be interested in almost all of them. Who wouldn't you want? Who wouldn't add? Not necessarily. I guess it becomes more about who would subtract. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, as we're talking about the future of the Big 12 here. But, I mean, I think there's a home for Duke. I mean, I think Georgia Tech, Louisville, Miami, if it got that far, North Carolina State, Pittsburgh. Like, there's... I don't think there are very many you just absolutely wouldn't be interested in, are there? You wouldn't want, you know, Virginia Tech? Like, I don't know. Syracuse? Like, all of these seem like they would bring value to the Big 12. I kind of think you just go as big as you can go. I wouldn't worry about 20. I'd just say, who doesn't help us, and we'll take everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can put Wake and Boston College and Syracuse. Syracuse has let their brand kind of age out, and they haven't kept up with facilities. I think those three are going to be in big trouble here. The only reason I think Pitt's in the discussion is their, you know, rather rabid rivalry with West Virginia. Other than that, I don't see much stomach for them. You know, Georgia Tech.
They got a big old fat endowment. I'm looking at endowments, yeah. and Pitt has a good one. Pitt's got more than North Carolina, and I don't know how much that matters. You know more about that than I do. But yeah, certainly Wake, Virginia Tech, Miami, but it's a private school. Louisville doesn't have much. Florida State doesn't even have much. So I don't know what to make of that. I don't know. I don't want in all of this, I hate when teams lose their standing in it. And maybe there is a collection of the rest somehow, you know, whether it's the you know, the American picks everybody up and or the Mountain West. I don't know, but I think there are more than four teams out of the ACC that would interest me if I was Big 12.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. You know, the thing is, where do the networks want to go? If you really do have their permission to expand and add these brands, would they stomach picking up six, which has been a rumor? But I like to look at it this way, guys. The Big 12 is just helping the college football world here, because I would imagine the ACC will backfill. They've got enough schools that kind of fit their academic profile within striking distance, like Tulane and South Florida. But I think probably they'll add Oregon State and Washington State, too, so that, you know, there's four schools out west. So So I think we're solving problems as the Big 12 goes. We're fixing some things here. But in all seriousness, it's sad to see schools get left out. And I've tried to explain to people, don't tell Big 12 media how realignment works. I mean, we've been covering this for 15 years. I've been in the epicenter, and it's been the Big 12 that was thought to be the one that would get ravaged and left for scraps with teams left out of the Power Five. And I didn't hear anyone really crying over that. So I think this has just been an interesting evolution. The position in which the Big 12 now sits is totally unexpected from not long ago, but here we are.
Do you think the other two major conferences, specifically the SEC, are strong enough to just sit on their hands and do nothing as everything moves forward? Greg Sankey the other day at SEC Media Day said that they're not looking at expansion. They're set with their 16. He's not a recruiter. Those were his words. And so they're just watching expansion and realignment elsewhere. Are they strong enough long term? I mean, I know their brands are incredible, but do they have the luxury of just basically doing nothing?
They do. I mean, they're highly respected. It for both of those leagues, their media valuation is so high, really adding Florida State and Notre Dame might be the only thing that would move it upwards. At some point, yeah, they're worried about their watering down there. The Big 12 is trying to increase their payouts, and they're worried about decreasing because they overexpand and bring in brands that don't lift the boat any further. They're just going to weigh it down. So I don't know. I mean, I Greg Sankey's full of crap, first of all. I mean, he's talking about we wouldn't go raid a conference and take their teams. And like, you just did it to the Big 12.
Right.
I mean, I know people don't have good memory, but you literally did that. The only way anyone found out was someone from Texas A&M decided to leak it. So it just cracks me up where they're trying to be holier than thou when they really set that last thing, all that movement into motion.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Of course he's full of it. So 2030, 2031 is the year that the current Big 12 deal expires, which is before the ACC deal. They got 4 or 5 years to sort of get themselves positioned. They'll be bigger. The Big 12 will be bigger. I don't know when the SEC or the Big Ten deals set up. Correct me if the Big 12 is first, right, of the four big conferences now. They're the first one to come up next. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think so, too.
It was a smart deal that Yormark signed. I think it getting to go back into the marketplace twice during the ACC's contract is enormous. You know, and I've had ACC fans say, well, we just got a bad media deal. I'm like, yeah, that's the problem. You do. You are getting underpaid, and ESPN isn't going to magically pay you more. They're more inclined to lower the payment so they move some of the money over to another conference. The ACC has done this to themselves, just like the Pac-12 did this to themselves, and they want to blame someone because it couldn't possibly be their elite conference that screwed it up.
Big Ten comes up 1 year earlier. I just looked it up, by the way. Go ahead, Tom.
I'm going to switch gears and actually ask you a K-State question. Yeah, I know. Isn't that great? Major League Baseball draft earlier this week. You had 5 Wildcats drafted in the Major League Baseball draft, kind of headlined by Kalen Culpepper, going 21st overall by the Minnesota Twins. Watching him and of course, watching the entire program this year have their best season since 2012 and going to a Super Regional and all of that was incredibly exciting and a lot of fun. But watching a guy specifically like Kalen Culpepper, who to me looks like a surefire big leaguer, that's a huge compliment, I think, to Pete Hughes and the program in general to have that many players drafted.
Yeah, and it shows the signs of progress that you need to compete at a higher level. You got to have better dudes, and they had some. You know, it kind of petered out at the end. They didn't look real good in the Super Regional, but it was signs of forward progress for the baseball program. And, you know, it's odd because everyone thought NIL would kill programs like K-State baseball, but they're doing a good job of retaining players with NIL and not going out necessarily and getting a bunch of dudes. They kind of, oh, we've got a really good reliever, a great shortstop. Yeah, okay, we're going to invest in them, try to prevent schools from poaching them. And I think that's a good formula, and it certainly worked for K-State last year.
NIL's helping everybody, I agree. All right, Fitz, what do you guys have going at GoPowerCat.com during this calm before the storm?
Yeah, I've done like 4 daily deliveries on the topic that we just discussed. I mean, it's just, it's interesting to see this starting to mimic the Pac-12. We released our podcast this morning, and we'll be doing another Big 12 Insiders here this afternoon. So it's always busy. I seem to remember the summers used to be slow and enjoyable, and Now I work as much, basically, as basketball season. It's crazy.
I agree. We've been talking about that. There's a lull here. And you got the TBT coming. The K-State's got a fun team coming down here to Wichita. Yep. We'll be paying attention to that as well.
Yeah, they could be competitive this year. They really could.
$76 billion for an NBA deal. You'll never convince me that the NBA is 20 times more valuable than Big 12 football and basketball. So I think it's coming. It's coming. The Big 12 will get there. All right, Fitz. GoPowerCat.com, at Life of Fitz on social media. Go follow the work there. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, boys.
Oh, man, Tommy. And it's over 11 years there, $76 billion. So maybe we'll call it 10 times more valuable. If I told you right now, do you think the NBA is 10 times more valuable than the Big 12? You think that's fair?
I think they're more valuable. I don't know if I would go 10 times more valuable.
It seems high, right? It seems high. I mean, they get 81 games, but it does seem high. It does. And so that's what I mean. I think a bigger deal is attainable for the Big 12, but they got to get bigger to get there. I appreciate Fitz. If you missed any of that, we'll have Fitz on next week, and you can catch it. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Let's get into the Royals. Second half coming. Who would be our number one trade target if we were J.J. Piccolo right now? We'll get into it, get you the latest rumors as well. Sports Daily, all Brockton Caster. Don't go away. Well, let's give away a little HTO. You text the keyword T right now to 20357 and win some HTO-free iced tea. More than 20 flavors available for you in East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. Or some free rain coffee. Iced coffee might sound good in these hot days. They got it all. Free rain. Featuring free rain. You can text the keyword T to 20357 right now to win a free tea, free coffee. One entry per day. Message and data rates apply. Tommy, you sent me, need a little tea to wash down what you just sent me. The Royals are introducing something here called the Taste of the K. It's a taco. It's a hot dog wrapped in a cheeseburger quesadilla topped with barbecue brisket, French fries, lettuce, onion, and sriracha cracker jacks. Now, that's going to be really good. I don't know about the sriracha cracker jacks. But everything else on there is good, so you know us. Like, I would, like, the thought of taking all of those foods that are good and putting them in one bite is going to be good. I don't, but why, though? You know, because I'm sure this is like $40 or something crazy. That's the thing. We see these stadium concoctions, and like, it's not even like you get to it, and I just can't imagine trying to tackle that or wanting to tackle that.
Yeah, I thought that it was April Fool's Day when I first read that. I'm like, that looks like an April Fool's joke, but it looks like it's legit. I mean, it came from the concession provider for the Kansas City Royals that they're offering this, the Taste of the K Taco. It's pretty extreme, and I'm kind of with you. I mean, I'm the kind of guy that if I go to a ball game, like, I want maybe just a hot dog or a brat and a beer and some peanuts. Like, just, I'm pretty simple, call it good. I don't need anything wild. I don't need, you know, something that lights up or, you know, whatever. That's actually the difference between my wife and I is that, like, I'm usually the simplest. Like, I just want a regular beer. And she's like, give me a drink that is like in a light up cup or that is on fire or that's got some kind of like craziness to it.
Yeah, no, beer at the ballpark.
Yeah.
Hot dog. I would prefer sunflower seeds over peanuts, but either way, I mean, it's mission accomplished.
A lot of places won't allow sunflower seeds anymore, so you gotta kind of go over to the peanuts.
Yeah, or just sneak them in, or just bring them yourself.
I think I could do without the Cracker Jacks. Otherwise, that doesn't look too bad. It was the onion.
I wouldn't need the onion on there. Doesn't make a lot of sense either.
Yeah, the only one I've ever thought I might want to try is there was a minor league team that was doing the Baco a while back, which is a taco, but instead of a tortilla shell, it's just bacon.
Hmm. I would go. Yeah, that'd be good. That would be good.
Yeah.
And it's not like all of these are like, for instance, the Wind Surge. I was out there this year for cinnamon rolls and chili night. It's fantastic. Fantastic. First time I'd done that, by the way. But that was cool. Like a one-time theme night to pay homage to the Midwest and all that. That was great. It also didn't cost $40. You know what I mean? Like, that's where these things come in. Like, you're like, okay, yeah, that might be fun. And then you see the cost of them and you're like, why would anybody do that? That's a ton of money.
Well,
that's kind of the holdup.
Yeah.
Tommy was talking about drinks. I did get the Sporting KC, the like main drink they had there was the Children's Mercy Park was the Blue Hell Lemonade, which is basically like an electric lemonade type drink. What did I pay for that? It was something kind of ridiculous for a mixed drink of that size. It was like $12 or $13 or something like that.
Was it like a frozen drink with some vodka in it or something?
No, it's just an electric lemonade. It's just a blue lemonade with a lot of vodka in it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, that actually sounds good. Yeah, $12 for a mixed drink, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
That's not too shabby. I have not been to a sporting game. I went to a Casey Current game at Children's Mercy Park, which was a blast. With my girls, that was a lot of fun. I haven't been. Are they? Yeah, they're in their new stadium. We need to check that out too. Speaking of the Royals and non-concession topics, it is the trade deadline in a couple of weeks. We'll have more on the Royals tomorrow as they get things back underway tomorrow. But as it pertains to the trade deadline, Tommy, I mean, there are two names that I consistently see that make sense that could be possibilities, and it would be Tommy Pham and Jazz Chisholm. Now, I'm not sure at this point anymore they could afford Chisholm. He would certainly be the preference as far as just player to player. He's got some control. He's younger. He's a star. He could lead off. But so could Tommy Pham. And we had isolated him for a long time. And, you know, he's sort of platooning for the White Sox. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know that would be as interesting. He would be handy. I haven't seen a lot of rumors that tie them to anybody else specifically. This may really come down to what happens over the next 10 days or so and seeing if anybody else enters the trade market as a seller as to how this shakes out. I will say, though, based on what the Royals just paid for their reliever, it looks like the seller's market for sure, and the cost of anything is probably going to be pretty high.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the case. I mean, I mentioned that when the Hunter Harvey trade was finalized, that I think that as we get closer to the deadline, regardless if more teams enter into that seller's market or not, I think that you're going to see prices continue to go up because of the urgency and because of, you know, you've got a hard deadline to get these things done. And sellers know that, and they know that some of these buyers that are out there that are looking for one additional piece and they feel like can get over the hump for them, that, you know, the price will be pretty steep for that sort of thing. So that's not going to surprise me if the prices continue to rise on some of these really important pieces that sellers are offering.
Well, and look, there's control involved with Henry. They view him as a closer. But you're talking about a fringe top 100 prospect and the 39th overall pick. That's a pretty high price tag. That's a pretty high price tag. Certainly gives you an indication of, like, what Miller from Oakland might cost somebody or Jazz Chisholm could cost somebody. I don't know that the Royals can get into that market. I just, you know, maybe whether they want to or not, I don't know that they can. And so then you do sort of have to look at the Tommy Phams and wonder, is anybody else going to become available? I mean, they surely will. Other teams are paying attention too. Like Toronto will almost certainly become a seller. I mean, how far are they going to go?
I mean, are they going to get rid of Vlad Jr.? Are they going to get rid of Bo Bichette? You know, like those guys have been cornerstones for a few years for the Blue Jays.
I would venture to guess that they would be willing to do either of those things because they have shown a willingness to spend money, it's not as crazy to imagine it to just absolutely take a boatload for the system, because they'll attack free agency aggressively. It's a great franchise. Like, so I think that's, you know, and you know, I would have to get the pulse of the Blue Jays fans. I would imagine they don't want to see those guys go, but at the same time, like, you could, Toronto could fix themselves in like one off season. It would be right now, just load up on talent and then go back and attack free agency hard in the next couple of years, and they'd be right back where they need to be, I think. So yes, I would venture to guess that they will trade a lot of those players. I think they'll be one of the teams to really watch. I don't know who the others will be.
I think the White Sox will be a team, you know, that unload players
on. We know they're in. I'm saying of the fringies now, the fringy teams at the moment.
I mean, because really it's the Blue Jays are going to sell, I think. It depends on to what extent. We know the White Sox are going to sell. We know the Marlins are probably going to continue to sell. I think the A's are going to sell, but maybe not as deep as maybe originally thought. I mean, Brent Rooker, I think, is going to be a trade candidate. Mason Miller, I mean, they flat out said that it's going to take, I think the words were like a Herschel Walker type trade return to move Mason Miller. And I don't know, there might be some teams out there that are really intrigued by what Mason Miller can do for them. I don't know, though, if anybody's going to be willing to match what Oakland wants to move him.
And the longer you wait, the less value he has. And the fact is, Oakland's not even close to contention, so how much does a relief pitcher help them? They should trade him now, I think. Anyway, they'll trade. So I think you got to look at, so San Francisco, okay, San Diego, Cincinnati, the Cubs, they're all sort of fringy right now, even Pittsburgh to some degree, and the Mets. They're all a little bit fringy. The Rangers would be fringy, but they're kind of in it. I just don't think they're going to. And then I think Detroit would be another team in Toronto. So those are all sort of fringy teams that could go one way or the other over the next 10 days and probably make a decision one way or the other, whether they stand pat, whether they buy, whether they sell. I almost think we're getting to a point in baseball where like, if you're not buying, you should be selling.
Yeah.
Like, standing pat doesn't make sense for really anybody outside of, you know, like Cleveland. But even then, you're still trying to tinker to get to a World Series. It almost is to me, if you don't buy, you should sell, and vice versa. Like, if you're not going to be a seller, you should be trying to get better. And I say that because it gives you like a threshold. Like, if you don't think you can go and add at the trade deadline to put your team in position, then you probably ought to be selling to some degree because you don't think you're good enough, right? Like, and if you don't think you're good enough, what are you doing?
So John Heyman, Major League Baseball insider, New York Post, he reported that the two teams that are looking at Tommy Pham are the Phillies and the Royals. Those are the two teams that have interest in Tommy Pham. I'm going to call it right now. I think the Royals deal for Tommy Pham. And the reason I say that, I think I think they get it done, and I don't think that the Phillies ultimately take a swing at Tommy Pham. And the reason why is because Philadelphia just released Whit Merrifield, and Tommy Pham, is an upgrade from Whit Merrifield. His average is significantly better than what Whit Merrifield was, but they're both aging players. You know, I think that the Phillies feel like they, if they're going to release Whit Merrifield, that they need probably a bigger upgrade than him, you know, to be able to bring in. And I don't think that going from Whit Merrifield to Tommy Pham for the Phillies really makes that much of a difference for them. I think that bringing in Tommy Pham would make a larger difference for the Royals potentially. And so I think that it's probably more likely that the Royals are the team that gets that deal done.
The only thing I will say about that is if Pham is indeed a platoon player, as a lot of people are saying, then it does make sense for the Phillies. Then it does make sense because they everybody can use a platoon player, right? And so I would ask you this, though. Would you rather have Tommy Pham or Whit Merrifield?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
To the Royals.
I think I'd rather have Tommy Pham just because of the average. I mean, he's hitting, you know, a respectable
right.
264,
right, right, right. Yeah.
You know, right now. Whit Merrifield's average is not good.
You really just have to look at Whit Merrifield and wonder if it was like a Hunter Renfro type thing, right, going on in the first half of the season. Like, is this really Whit Merrifield?
But haven't we said multiple times, and I've brought this up multiple times as we've been talking about potentially outfield additions, you know, lineup additions for the Royals, it's not about what they can do from a ceiling perspective. They need to be consistent. They need to be able to get on base consistently. They need to be able to.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, somebody like Whit Merrifield right now in his stage of his career, if he comes back to Kansas City, he's not the Whit Merrifield that was an all-star when he was a Royal before. He's not a consistent hitter anymore. Tommy Pham is more consistent right now, even though he's 36.
The problem, and Ken brings up a good point, and this is the problem for either of those players, is do we want them to play in center field? And that's...
I think the answer is no. Right? Like, I mean, I think Kyle Isbell is the, you know, the center fielder.
But then,
fielder,
so who are you squeezing out, though?
Yeah.
Melendez, Renfro, who are both, I think, better options than either Pham or...
You think Melendez is a better option than Pham?
I do.
Really? Okay.
I do right now. Yeah,
Melendez
is still
under the Mendoza line.
Well, I know, but if we look at his splits and take it, you know, if you take the last month or so, he's really come on lately, at least to his average potential. I think he provides some pop, but maybe they could platoon. Melendez can do a variety of things. I'll tell you this. There is very much a part of me that would love to see them just sort of push all their chips in and go after a guy like Jazz Chisholm, because he would fit about 8 billion needs for them, and he's under control for a little bit, and him at the top with Whit, Salvi. I mean, you're cooking now if you can pull something like that off. It's just hard. I don't know, like, can they already trade, and I genuinely don't know the answer to this, can they already trade 2025 draft picks would be my first question.
I don't know.
And would you be willing to give up Mitchell, your top prospect? Because that's probably what it would take. And, you know, I think my answer to that, would probably be yes. It's very difficult. It's very, very difficult to imagine what that's going to be like. But I would like to see. Here's what I'll say. And I know I'm rambling here. I almost, as much as I want the urgency factor, rather than settling for Tommy Pham, which I do think could fit, I kind of want to see if anybody else comes on the market. I do think there is some value in hanging tight and seeing if you can't find an everyday center fielder. You know what I mean? Like, maybe Pham's a nice backup plan, but maybe prioritize an everyday center fielder first. They're playing a soft part of the schedule. I mean, it puts some pressure on them a little bit.
It does.
But you got a soft part of the schedule coming up. And I don't know what, like, you got to get it right. Is Pham right? I don't know. I mean, he makes sense.
As you mentioned,
said his name for 2 months.
As you mentioned, is a platoon piece. I think it does upgrade your outfield.
Yes.
The only thing that I think about with Tommy Pham is, again, I consistently go back to what both John Sherman and J.J. Piccolo have said multiple times, that they want to address the short term and the long term at the same time. Tommy Pham's a rental. He's a free agent at the end of the year. That's not addressing the long term. Is that going to be a deal breaker for them? Does that make them not interested in Tommy Pham? Do they want somebody
Hunter Harvey,
controllable
Hunter
for
Harvey
a year
fit
or two?
That. Yeah, Hunter Harvey fit exactly what they said. So that, you know, if that's the way they go, then shoot bigger. I mean, if you're going for a controllable player, I just don't think the window is not just this year. To me, the window is very much the next 2 years at minimum. So you can think about it that way too. I don't know how they'll find starting pitching, you know, so if you got a nice little 2 year window here, you can push them all in on that. That doesn't hurt my feelings at all. And I don't usually say that, by the way. I'm usually on the other side of that. I'm not with the Royals right now. I think it's been too long. 869-1240, we'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. We appreciate Crestview's support. They have all kinds of good stuff. It is. The weather has never been better for golf, it feels like, after how hot it's been. 36 holes of golf, swimming pool, tennis courts, nice restaurant, bar. It's all there for you. Take a tour. Tell them we sent you. We appreciate their support. We'll come right back. More Sports Daily right after this.
EFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. You can text the keyword T to win some HTO. TEA 20357. Message and data rates apply. By the way, we've been talking a lot of football, a lot of baseball, some Chiefs training camp. Training camp updates on KFH brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Chiefs camp continues. Now we're to the, you know, I think the tone has been set. Worthy was the big news yesterday. Good to see him out there. I don't think it's smoke from Patrick Mahomes saying there is no time to ease him in. As we talk about Worthy specifically in this offense, there's Hollywood Brown there now. You know, you think Rashee Rice is still going to be there.
By all accounts, he's there, you know.
Worthy does have to acclimate quickly, or there could be some risk of him getting left behind early in the season. And I think they sense that, but I just have not had I like Worthy the player. I don't mind the pick. I have had a hard time with expectations for him, I think, as a rookie. I really just don't know what I expect. Is he just slot into the MVS role? Does he need, like, what role does he need to play for this team? And a part of the problem with that is, of course, the Rashee Rice unknown. How much time does he miss? I think ultimately he's going to need to play a big role because Rice will be out at some point.
I think that for him, and I would feel the same way about Rashee Rice coming into this season if he didn't have this looming suspension hanging over his head whenever that ends up happening, I think that he will have a fairly sizable role in the offense, and that's solely because defenses are going to focus in, of course, on Travis Kelce and now Hollywood Brown with the deep ball. So I do think that there's the potential that it could open things up quite a bit for Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice, even maybe more so than last year when Rice is able to play. You know what? I've read a couple different things about Rashee Rice, and there's some kind of finality to the criminal case and all of that, it seems unlikely that the NFL is going to move one way or another on this. And, you know, so who knows how long that will play out. You know, there have been several different times where, you know, players, I think Alvin Kamara was one of them, where it was like the next season because the legal system took so long to play out in his case that his suspension didn't even take effect until the next season. So I don't know if that's on the table for Rashee Rice or not, but, you know, at this point, until we hear otherwise, I mean, I'm rolling with him, you know, being out there on the field and contributing right away.
I think we all have high expectations for Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown's best season as a pro, the only time he's reached 1,000 yards and really has come even close, was in 2021, his last year in Baltimore. 91 catches, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. What would you say the chances that he surpasses those numbers are?
I don't know. Those are slightly
better than what Rashee Rice was last year. I think they're relatively high. I think there's a pretty decent chance
whether they are or not. Honestly, I don't particularly care. I think the value from Hollywood Brown goes beyond just what his individual stat line will say. Even just the threat of him catching the deep ball, I think will force defenses to pay attention to him and then open things up elsewhere, whether it's for Travis Kelce or the other receivers underneath, you know, having that speed threat. And that's kind of like, you know, to an extent, Tyreek Hill, he had incredible stats, don't get me wrong, and was fantastic. But even just the mere thought of him on the field attracted attention, and he impacted games even when he wasn't catching the football. I think Hollywood Brown can do that to an extent. It's not going to be quite the same as it was. He's not quite as fast as Tyreek Hill is. But I do think that, you know, you look back to last year, there was zero deep ball threat for the Kansas City Chiefs, and defenses knew that. And so they were then able to lock in on other areas of the field to shut down, because they knew that, you know, number one, there weren't the pass catchers that were capable of doing that. Number two, Patrick Mahomes wasn't going to even try to test it.
One of our great consumers of our video stream, Rick, points out that the first court date on Rice isn't until December and wouldn't end until next year. It really comes down to, yeah, what is the NFL? Does the NFL, because remember, the initial reporting is that it would come quickly because of, I'm sure, an admission of guilt. I don't know, and it's a great, and I hadn't seen that, Rick, so I appreciate that. But like, the question becomes, does the NFL feel like it can act now, or does it need to wait? They've shown a history of doing both. So I'm not sure. I don't know what they'll do. But yeah, if Rice plays all year, draft Patrick Mahomes in your fantasy leagues. I'm just telling you. Like, it's going to be a ridiculous collection of talent there in Kansas City. We'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network today, get you all prepped up for it in our final segment of Sports Daily.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.